From the land to Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of April, 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net in Windsor, Illinois. We'll explore big data centers and how counties, in this case Logan and Champaign, across the state of Illinois and the Midwest, are dealing with big data centers. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast with Mike Tenorum. He's at T-Storm Weather in Naperville, Illinois. We'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, where we're in the midst of our final day, final hours, in fact, of the Spring Fund Drive. You can help us out because, well, the ag programming comes to you because of you. Make that contribution now at willgive.org or 217-244-9455 and make sure that they know it's in support of agriculture.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn for the day at $4.63¾, a penny higher. New crop December up 1¼ at $4.83½. July soybeans $11.74¾, down 4¾¢. November at $11.55, a penny lower. Bean meal futures were unchanged. Bean oil 2¢ lower, and soft red winter wheat for the July up 13¼¢ at $6.22¼. The hard red July, the harvest month, at $6.79½. Up 29¼¢ on this Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's begin. I know you finished up with soybean last week. You told us that. How far along are you on corn, and are you moving? Because it appears to me there's a lot north of us sometimes that isn't actually in the field, and there was quite a bit of rain.
Yeah, I mean, last week we had 7/10 at home and then another close to 1 inch on the weekend, and so our tiled ground really got fit here over the last day or so, and we've been able to run on corn. So, oh, I don't know, we're around a third of the way done. If things would go smoothly, you know, we could put a bunch in the ground here in the next day or so, but it just depends on whether that rain hits tomorrow. And you know, if Mother Nature's good to us, then we probably get most of our corn in the ground by the end of the weekend.
I did tell the folks on air yesterday that I was headed to see if my field in Logan County was going to be planted that day. It was. I drove by it because my brothers weren't there, and it's no-till, so you really can't tell. But they assured me they had put it in the ground, so I'm okay with that. Now, we have to deal with marketing that crop, and it appears today that, again, there's just not a lot happening in the marketplace. How did you see this week take place?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the bean market's range bound. That's pretty much all there is to it. As far as the corn market goes, there's definitely some interest in not letting this market just tank by any means. There's been support. We've seen some buying that's come in. You know, it's not held every day, but then again, we haven't moved lower and followed soybeans. So from a corn perspective, I've got to think some of the weather issues we're seeing, you know, and some of the planters that we're seeing sit is lending some support. No questions asked. You know, we're looking at energy every day. It's a big topic, but at the same time, I think that standalone, you know, corn has a great demand story. There is some weather concerns out of Brazil, but, you know, if this Argentine crop's as big as what they think it is, I still think world fundamentals will be, you know, I wouldn't say that they're going to be burdensome by any means, even though demand's an all-time record. So a lot of different things to think about. Of course, the war is something that we continue to have to tread lightly around. But at the same time, these markets really are in great shape compared to where we're at, you know, for instance, a year ago. So we don't want to lose sight of that.
And you mentioned the word tank, because that is the concern at this point, that as we get deeper into the planting season, the futures will roll over. How concerning is that for you at this time?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a concern, but I would want to point out, you know, we've had a lot of opportunities to sell at better levels than what we saw a year ago. So, you know, locking in some worst case scenarios, we've had all kinds of opportunities to do so. And we still do, quite frankly. A Central Illinois grower that has an average APH definitely can make good money on beans here, you know, on corn. Obviously, a lot of that depends on when your fertilizer was bought. But the vast majority of growers, I think, with average to above average yields definitely can make money on corn as well. So I at least want to lock in some worst case scenarios to avoid, if this thing falls out of bed, you know, sitting here wondering why we didn't do something.
With the war in Iran on a pause, not finished, a ceasefire in place, just continuing, how much concern is it building in the farm population related to fall anhydrous prices or nitrogen and next year's profitability?
That's where the biggest concern for me lies. I'm concerned that, you know, even if energy prices would moderate, that it's really going to be tough on fertilizer. Just with the way that we've disrupted world flows, we've taken out some natural gas facilities. You know, there's just going to be some problems trying to source nitrogen at the price levels that we want to see. So, you know, I'm concerned. You know, these 27 corn has been kind of banging around not too far from $5. But I think you're going to have something in excess of that if you're looking at $1,100 or $1,200 anhydrous, because the numbers just don't work very well at all. So, yeah, it's concerning to say the least.
What are you watching either in the wheat market and or in livestock at this time?
You know, I would have thought wheat would have had a better week after the kind of crop ratings that we've seen. No question about it. As far as, you know, world wheat goes, we got to understand U.S. doesn't grow a large crop compared to some other places in the world, but it's still certainly something that's traded. On the cattle front, you know, with Secretary Rollins saying she's not going to have a meeting later this week, I've got to think that that gives people a reason to believe that that border is a long ways from opening. I mean, it was screwworm, 60, 80 miles away from the border. It's still a very stressful situation here, and I don't think they're going to be in any hurry to open it.
And finally, we are in the final hours of our fun drive for the afternoon. Thank you for being on air with us for such a long time now. We appreciate that. And we appreciate the fact that producers call in and they make those contributions at 217-244-9455 or at willgive.org. And well, that because of you, Matt, we have programs on Thursday afternoon that people really love to listen to. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate being on. I always enjoyed it.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. And it is because of him, because of you, that the Ag programming is here at Illinois Public Medium. We do need your financial support, so make that contribution right now at 217-244-9455 or willgive.org. You know, counties throughout the Midwest are struggling with the onslaught of requests to site large data centers. There is a proposal to place one near Latham, that's in Logan County in central Illinois. Protesters gathered Monday night in Lincoln and then again last night to make public comment at the Logan County Board meeting. Representatives of Hut 8 were on hand too and addressed in a very short way some of the water use and noise issues raised by the public comments.
We're willing to commit to the water caps, noise limits, decommissioning bonds, etc. So depending on what the ordinance shapes up to be, yes, we will bring forward a conditional use permit.
And Logan County is still working through a CUP ordinance or conditional use permit for a proposed Latham, Illinois data center. The board let expire a 60-day moratorium on data center applications. In Champaign County, tonight, the board will consider whether or not to adopt a change to address a moratorium ordinance on data centers over 10,000 square feet. It would reduce the moratorium from 12 to 9 months. They'll be voting on the change.
That's what we would like. I mean, we need a moratorium. One way or the other, we need to leave tonight with a moratorium, because if we don't have a moratorium, Champaign County is obligated to review data center proposals using their current statute, which was written for, you know, contemplating data centers that were small, the data centers of the pre-AI generation. And now when we're looking at the kind of behemoths that we're seeing on the landscape, we need new rules that are able to appropriately address the concerns that we have when you've got a big data center like that.
That's Andrew Wren of the Prairie Rivers Network. I spoke with him earlier today about the Champaign County debate. Again, Logan County has a data center proposal on the table. Champaign County, it's just working to consider how to handle them and whether or not it should be with a 9-month or 12-month long moratorium while a task force studies the issue. Again, here's Andrew Wren of the Prairie Rivers Network.
Yeah, my understanding is that they can do all of that tonight. I am not an expert on exactly how Champaign County works, but that is my understanding, and that's what we're asking them to do. Again, if they can't, if there's not political will to do 12, we need to do 9.
From your perspective, from the Prairie Rivers Network perspective, what's the difference between the small data center and the data centers of today?
It is a facility that is 100 times larger than the facilities we're seeing, or more. So like a data center, you know, now might be, energy is typically how we, so I'm going to say the megawatt, right? The data center now might be, you know, 1 to 5 megawatt. The proposal we're seeing are 600 megawatt. In Joliet, we were seeing 1,800 megawatt. So the scale is increased 100 times. It's in some ways a totally different facility. When you're talking about that much energy, you're also talking about that much land use. You're also talking about that much water consumption, depending on the technologies that they're using. And it just brings up questions that aren't relevant when it's such a smaller facility, right? Like we could have 100 of the smaller data centers be proposed and built to equal one of what these new things are, right? Does that, the scale is just so different that it's a totally the appropriate time to go back, look at the rules and say, okay, what do we need to do here when this is the reality of what's coming?
So your point, the Prairie Rivers Network point, is not that you oppose the data center, maybe you can correct me on that, but that it is that you want the impact to be thought through before allowing them to go forward.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about a specific data center proposal, so I won't say whether I support or, you know, like broadly speaking, we're talking about rules. There's not something we're looking at. And obviously, if there was something we were looking at specifically, we would have to answer that about the specific data center. I do think that we need to make sure that if these things are going to be built, they're built appropriately, and they have, you know, all of the impacts that we could see on people are addressed. And there's some stuff that can be done at the county level that really critically does need to be done, things like setbacks, noise. And then there's other things that we think need to be done at the state level with the Power Act to address things like our grid. What are these going to do to our energy prices? And those sort of questions are much broader in geographic scope than a county. And so we need to have state level answers too. So if we had all these protections in place, maybe we could consider a data center and say, okay, well, here's all the rules they're going to have to follow. We can be more confident that there won't be impact on people or on our water resources or on our energy bills. So, you know, I don't think we have an official position on data centers broadly, but we do need to make sure that we've got the right rules in place before we go and, you know, venture into this new world of hyperscale data centers.
The Champaign County Board will meet at 6:30 tonight in the Urbana, Illinois Brookins Administrative Center. The Power Act, by the way, is a bill Illinois lawmakers are considering in Springfield. It would regulate large data centers, addressing concerns about price increases, electricity shortages, and environmental impacts. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. It is public radio for the farming world. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Now, we're in the final day, the final hours, in fact, of our spring fun drive. We come to you just a few days out of the year, four here in the springtime, asking for your support, your financial support for the agricultural programming in this case, for the station as well. And I'd like you to dial in right now with a contribution, say at 217-244-9455, 217-BIG-WILL, or online at willgive.org in the order of $120, $240, $320, $640, whatever gift, frankly, you'd like to make for the programming that comes to you that talks about agriculture and agricultural issues, the commodity markets and the weather each and every day across the whole of the planet, and how that global network is all intertwined, including with the Iran war, the Ukraine war, all kinds of things happening in Europe and South America. If this makes a difference to the way you market your crop or to the way that you understand agriculture, and boy, I hope it does, then make a contribution today. Please do. Again, 217-244-9455 or willgive.org. And thank you. It is because of you that the agricultural programming is here. Let's turn our attention to the growing regions across the planet. Mike Tenura is here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Naperville, Illinois, CEO and president there, online at tstorm.net. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us. I want to pick up where we left off last week. We've been talking about the hard red winter wheat growing regions. They have had a difficult time, particularly in Kansas, Oklahoma, some of those places. Can you tell me more about that crop as we get in to the end of the month of April?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of different things to look at. If you look at the proportion of the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop that had less than half of its normal rainfall over the last 90 days, it stands at 50%. And that's a very important number because we can look back at any day in April and May going all the way back through 2012, and there's only one day that got that high, and that was May 7th of 2014. So this is almost unprecedented for the last 14 years to see this coverage of dryness on this crop. Additionally, the temperatures have to be thought about too. If we start out in February and then run through the end of April, this is going to go down as the warmest by a huge margin in more than 130 years of record across Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. And there's really no precedent for the temperature departure. It'll end up being around 12 to 15 degrees warmer than normal, and the next closest are around 8 to 10 degrees. So it's just so far above anything we've seen over that period of time that, you know, it makes you wonder about climate change. I mean, there's really no other way around it when you start looking at this type of a record. But nonetheless, Todd, the weather has been extremely unusual to this point in time.
I know you're a meteorologist. You're also a trained agricultural economist here at the University of Illinois, training with all the folks that everybody is used to hearing on our air at willag.org, Scott Irwin and Gary Stintke and the crew. With that as a background, have developed over time a product that helps you to follow a lot of this proprietary data that you talk about. And it does create some yields. Do you have forecast or at least an idea of what this crop is looking like as far as it goes for yield for the hard red winter wheat?
Well, we do have a product called YieldCast, which does get into that. It forecasts the U.S. corn and soybean yield and spring wheat as well. And then just this week, we started with HRW and SRW wheat forecasts. Of course, we can't just talk about the specific numbers that are coming out of these models that we use, but they certainly don't like what they're seeing for the hard red winter wheat crop. They're screaming that we have a problem out there, which maybe isn't that big of a surprise at this point in time because it has been so dry, and we talked about some of those statistics. But one of the big questions regards what can happen as we go forward. And our modeling suggests that even if we get some great rains over the next 1 to 2 months, it's way too late to reverse some of the damage that's likely been done. And probably what will end up determining where this crop ends up actually has to do a little bit less with that region and more to do with what's taking place in Montana and South Dakota. You know, that crop develops a lot later than the rest of the wheat crop, and it's still early enough that they can have a really nice yield if they get some nice rains and some favorable temperatures over the next couple of months. And even though that's only about 20% of U.S. production, that's enough to make a difference. So I think a lot of eyes are going to eventually shift to that crop as we move forward to see if it can help to at least improve yield potential from where it sits today.
Switching growing regions in the United States, take a look at the Corn Belt, your assessment there and what the forecast might look like.
Well, corn and soybean planting, as you know, is racing forward. It's pretty far ahead of schedule, especially for soybeans. And that's partially due to all the nice and warm weather we've had lately. And although we have had some very wet conditions develop in Wisconsin and Michigan, they don't typically plant this early, and that's not very representative of the whole Corn Belt. As we move forward, it is going to turn a lot cooler and a lot wetter. We'll see some storms over the next 2 days in the Corn Belt, but not really too big of a deal. The thing that's more important is what happens on Sunday and Monday. A large field of rain is likely to move across the central U.S., and that's all taking place because a much cooler air mass is going to move southward, and that'll set up a nice temperature gradient in the middle of the country, and that should allow for a pretty big area of rain, say in the order of a half of an inch to 1.5 inches across a big area of corn and soybeans. After that, there's some more rain out there later next week, and probably another rain around 3 to 4 days after that. And even though those might not be huge rain events, they should be enough to keep things moist. And when you combine that with below normal temperatures, which we haven't seen in quite a long time, that's not really a great setup for corn and soybean planting or growth, but you know, maybe a little too early to be overly excited about it.
Anything that we should be concerned about there as it relates to the cool temperatures or other places?
Well, generally, you would like to see real mild weather in April and May, and that's exemplified by what's happening today, where you get some nice warm weather, plants start to grow quickly, and they are generally very happy with that type of setup. As we move into next week, though, it's not going to be like that. We'll see highs in the 60s and 70s, even some 50s at times in the north, and we'll see some frost and freezes in the north, and that just kind of slows everything down. But maybe the biggest point to take home, Todd, is that as long as you can get the corn crop planted by the last 5 to 10 days of May, and the same thing with soybeans, maybe even into June, you can still have full yield potential as long as you get some great weather ahead. So it's just a little too early to really think too hard about it. But of course, we'd like to see warmer weather, and that's just not in store over the course of next week and even into part of the following week.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
That sounds fantastic. Thanks, Todd.
That's Mike Tenora. He is with T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, we'll record our Commodity Week program later today. Get it posted this evening to our website at willag.org, where at the top of the page there is a Donate Now button. Or if you prefer, you could just go to willgive.org. We're in the final hours of our spring pledge drive. Don't worry if it's, well, later on Thursday or Friday, Saturday, when you're listening to this program, maybe on the podcast, you can still make that donation. I like the $120 or better level. $40 is fine. $320 is great. $640 is even better. Whatever gift you make makes a difference for us here at the station, and we thank you so very much. You have a good afternoon, and by the way, if you're traveling in those rural areas, be sure to look out for the tractors and the planters. They move slow. It's easy to come up on them from the backside really fast, and they're looking out for you. You look out for them, too. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.